Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and again, this is one of those fun days. I have a fantastic guest with me today, and her name is Shannon Tashney. She is a brand and marketing strategist, as well as a brand photographer, focusing on helping other female entrepreneurs bring depth, joy, simplicity, and beauty into their brand so they can draw their target clients in with ease. She has been the owner of Feather Blue Studios for over 15 years. She gets especially excited about give-back, purpose-centered business models, and can often be found eating ridiculous quantities of dark chocolate in her cozy home in Minnesota with her husband and three kids. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. And listen, we are of kindred spirit in this. If I'm going for chocolate, I'm doing the dark chocolate. It's got just, it's more flavorful. It's more fantastic. Do you do like dark chocolate, hot chocolate also, or?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, we definitely experiment with a lot of different dark chocolate flavors, and it's a regular activity around here for sure.
Okay, well, I just have this vision of Minnesota being like freezing cold from basically October until May, and you have to do something to keep warm, and dark chocolate, hot chocolate sounds like the way to go to me.
Yeah, I'm a big tea drinker too, so a lot of chai tea, things that are rich and sweet and creamy. Yes, we survive on hot drinks and warm blankets.
I love it. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is I'm all about, the show's all about entrepreneurs, okay? But I also think it's really important to focus on kind of underrepresented populations in the entrepreneur world, okay? For me, I'm a person with a disability, so I am all in favor of entrepreneurship as a way for people with disabilities to really become independent and be able to be self-sufficient. But I also think like we're all in this together, and this entrepreneurship is something I see as a possibility for everybody. Okay. And in that, you're talking about helping female entrepreneurs. You're obviously a female entrepreneur yourself. And so to me, that's a population that we need to support in whatever way we can. Let me just start here. What drew you to entrepreneurship yourself? What was it that kind of said, I want to go out there and do this on my own?
Yeah, so I think that for me, there is just no denying that I have an entrepreneurial spirit, and that probably from childhood, that was my calling, even if I didn't know it. I used to, you know, host carnivals in the backyard and bike washes, and I had a gift shop in my bedroom when I was 10 that the neighbors shopped out of. And of course, when you're little, you're never told you should grow up and be in business for yourself. You're told you should go to college and get a job. And so I did go to college, and I fully intended to go into, actually I was gonna go into advertising, very like left brain and right brain. I like creativity, I like strategy. And something different for my path than a lot of people who maybe were in a career field for a long time and then dropped out and, you know, decided to become an entrepreneur. I have never had a 40-hour a week job. So the entrepreneur bug got me very quickly. I got married pretty young. So at 21, I was married. My husband had been a fifth year senior while I was a freshman in college. And so it just worked itself out that when I graduated, I was planning on working on my portfolio for a while for advertising. And then of course getting the, you know, the full-time job. But in the meantime, I ended up starting several different little businesses, including designing handbags and jewelry. I worked for another small business owner. I was doing photography on the side. And from then on, I never really went back. I always did my own thing after that.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. So what you're doing though is in some ways you're taking your passion, you're taking the skills and abilities that you have and translating that into making a life for yourself. And mm-hmm. I would imagine, what is it about being an entrepreneur that is so appealing to you in terms of, you know, just how you live your life? Because let me just say it this way, okay? And that is, when you work a 40-hour a week job, the job makes the mandates for you. Is kind of what I imagine. You have to show up at this time. You have to do this. What is it about entrepreneurship that is kind of appealing to you or works for you?
Yeah, well, a few different things. I mean, certainly it has its pros and cons, as we all know, right? Like there's something about going to work and leaving it at work and coming home that we never get as entrepreneurs. I would say that the number one thing for me is I am an idea girl. I have ideas that grow ideas. I have more ideas than time. And so being able to take an idea and to lay it out from beginning to end and to bring it to life is just like, I'm so compelled to do that. I can't not do that. I am so called to take my ideas. One of the hardest parts about that, of course, is, you know, limiting the number of ideas you take to life as an entrepreneur and focusing. So I would say that's definitely one thing that compels me. The second thing is just the flexibility. You know, once I had my first child, who is now 17, I knew that I wanted to be home with her. And, you know, I didn't want to miss that stage of life, but I also knew I had a drive. I had, you know, I needed, for me, like I needed to do the creative things to run the business, to propel, you know, being a stay-at-home mom, right? To be fulfilled. So I needed to have something to keep the creative juices flowing and to keep me fulfilled and to keep making an impact with my gifts and talents while also getting the opportunity, the flexibility to being a mom. So for me, that was, you know, it's a hard balance. It's not an easy balance, right. But it was the right balance for sure for me.
Okay. So you're talking about how you have all of these different irons in the fire. You're doing handbags, you're working for another small business owner, you're doing photography, you've got all this stuff. And how do you kind of focus in and go from being a jack of all trades to being Feather Blue Studios?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like a trial and error thing. I think that's when you dive into entrepreneurship with no real even life experience or strong, you know, commercial business background, you just try all the things, right? You just start. I'm very much a go-getter. I will just start going for it. And so I think that I went from having all these little things to, okay, I need to make it one big thing. And for a while, so how my business actually looks is currently, like you said, I'm a brand and marketing strategist and a brand photographer for female entrepreneurs. That's been my business for about the last 5 years. For about 10 years before that, I really focused on portrait and fashion photography. And so at that time, it gave me the chance to, I had studied photography in Paris during part of my college experience. And so I basically came back with a camera and everybody asked to take pictures, you know, and so I started doing various things with that freelancing while I was running originally the more artistic handbag and jewelry business. After I had my first daughter, you know, we moved for a little bit. We moved to St. Louis, Missouri for a couple of years and kind of everything just got dropped off my plate, which was like a clean slate. It felt really good, right? Because I was probably juggling too many things.
Sure.
And then we moved back and my daughter was about two. It was like, okay, what am I going to do? So I thought I'm going to do photography and graphic design. I had, you know, studied communications and marketing graphic design. So it seemed like a good fit. And after doing that for 10 years, I realized that the most fun I had in my business wasn't the taking the pictures. It was the marketing my own business. And that really I was missing using the rest of my brain. And, you know, I think a lot of us, people have talked about before, how you go on the entrepreneur journey, but it really, it's like the life journey and you learn about yourself. And I learned in the past, you know, 5 to 10 years, my gifts are in strategy. They're in communication. They're in, you know, taking ideas and focusing them. So the photography was something I had honed a skill in and gotten really good at, but it wasn't the whole me. And I really missed more of the whole me. And so I, at some point to transition, I ended up taking a little job for a small marketing firm doing all of their digital media, their social media, their blogging. And I was like, I can do this. I miss the writing. I miss all this. And at that point I thought I need to transition. I kind of felt like I was missing some purpose in that sense of my business. And I loved it. And I loved the families I worked with, but I decided to transition and take all of my skills. And at that point, I was like, I'm going to build a brand that's a little bit bigger than just a creative business. I'm going to build a brand that brings more of what matters to me into it. And at that point, I really took the time to evaluate, you know, what is important to me. And for me, that was like being a give back business and being purpose driven. And how do you incorporate all these things and put them into your creative brand? And so I think that it just took a lot of trial and error, to go back to your question here, like a lot of all the things kind of like peaking to the point where you're going, okay, I now get my focus, but it took a lot of time to get there.
Okay. So just for the sake of reference, when you say a give back business and you say a purpose driven business, can you give me kind of an easy definition of what you think those two things mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think purpose driven can be a little vaguer. I think purpose driven means that I have something beyond just wanting to make money from my business. I have a greater purpose in spending all my time in doing it. And so for me, that meant being able to have a voice about things I cared about. And for me, being able to bring a world-changing aspect into my business and maybe making connections with people that I wouldn't have normally connected with. And so for me, that's what drives me, like a greater purpose than just the finances. And there's nothing wrong with going into business to make money. It's a tool by all means.
Well, if your business isn't making money, then you're actually not in business.
Then you're not a business. Exactly. Yes. But I think for some of us, we have a big draw and a big heart and a big calling, and we mix that with the business end of things. I mean, I certainly could have taken a purpose and you could just run a platform, but I also just love business. Right. And so for me, that's what a purpose driven business is. As far as a give back business, I have a very specific give back model. I take a certain portion from every single client and job I have, and it goes into a giving vault. And that's a specific bank account. The money goes into it. It never comes out of it until it goes to one of the places I donate to. And quarterly, I have a place that I give this money to. And for me, that is in mostly two areas. One, it's helping female entrepreneurs around the world who need loans in order to start their own small business, in order to have a living. I often do that through World Vision, sometimes through some other organizations. And then secondly, I have a deep concern for women who have been in the trafficking industry and have come out of that and need support as they do that. And I have a particular friend who runs an organization called Stories Foundation. And so I often support her as well. And sometimes different things as they pop up, but that's my system. So for me, it's very specific. I get really excited about that. You know, like the money coming in isn't just for me. It's making a bigger impact in the world.
What a fantastic way to look at your business, that not only is it you have a purpose in what it's doing in your life, but in the lives of others. And then you're taking it the next step to say that it's not just about female entrepreneurs. It's not just about the female entrepreneurs that I've come in contact with and that I serve, but it's about serving them across the world. And it's also about supporting women who have been involved in trafficking. What a phenomenal concept. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're developing a brand, right? You're creating the Feather Blue Studio brand. And what comes first? The understanding of who your clients are, or the development of the brand, or how do you make the match so that when your potential clients hear what you're doing, they're like, I've got to go there. And so that you build your client base and you build your brand at the same time, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, so first of all, I have a very strong philosophy that there's more than one way to do business. I think a lot of people come on and they want to teach marketing this way. This is the only way. The truth is there are many different paths that can get us to a successful business. And it's really important that we understand our personality and what we're going to enjoy, right? Because I could try somebody's method and I could hate it and then I wouldn't be successful. In my case, I find that, so I like to help people build a brand story, right? Like what are we remembered for? And then I help them take that brand story and kind of create a little stepping stones into how do we take that story from the consumer to like your business so that they're spending money with you, right? That's kind of the two things I do, the brand and marketing strategy. And then I fit my photography into that, right? So for me, you do have to absolutely know who your target client is, right? And so for me, it is the female entrepreneur who wants to grow a business online, but she also has a big heart, right? So she also has something else that's driving her. And I think it's easy to say female entrepreneurs, but that isn't really narrowed down enough for all of us. We need to kind of have one more thing, whether it's very specific where she lives or whether it's emotional. What does she feel? What does she want? And so you do have to have that audience. And then you have to have how do I want to bring myself into my business? That can look a lot of ways. I could grow my business very much from a like just giving brand and marketing strategy tips and, you know, like here's how you build your business. But then I think that we all need to build our brand by thinking of what I call like brand pillars or categories. And so for me, a lot of that is just encouraging women, like, come hang out in my space, come hang out on my Instagram page. You don't ever have to buy anything, but if you, I want you to feel good here. I want you to feel encouraged and motivated.
Okay.
If you want to change the world, I want you to feel not alone. And so for me, that's a big part of how I choose to build my brand is saying, what is going to be a safe, cozy space people are going to want to be in? And then when they're around it enough, what do I have that's going to solve your problem to help you with the next step for your business?
It's really interesting because what I'm kind of parsing out of what you're saying is that, yes, you are in business to make money, but you are in business to find joy and fulfillment in what you're doing. And the money kind of is the nice thing that comes along with that. Am I properly understanding what you're doing?
You know, I would say almost, except that we also have to have, because 100% I focus on bringing the joy, bringing the community first. But I would say what we said earlier, but then you have to have the strategic plan for then how am I also bringing these people to a place where you like being here, we connect. Now, what do I have, you know, as a product to help you in order to be a business, in order to really be a successful business? But absolutely, I lead with the joy and the community, the inspiration. And then I want people, because I want the right people. I don't want to work with any people. I mean, I think a lot of us think that everybody is our client and there's a lot of great people in the world, but not everybody is the right fit for me. And the people that are the right fit, we have an amazing experience together because they're the right fit. So,
yeah. No, so, I mean, I'm thinking about it from this perspective. When your primary goal in business is to make money, then you have the pressure of making money and it drives you. And that kind of is the weight that makes you go. And it's a negative motivator.
Yes.
Whereas what you're talking about is you do have to have a business strategy. You do have to have all of those things, but you're leading with the joy, leading with the enjoyment, leading with the community. And I guess, what are your tips? Because building a business it's not a real smooth road. And it kind of goes in fits and starts. It's got issues. Do you have, you know, some tips or something that you can share with folks that are trying to build a business or have a vision or and are scared or whatever they're experiencing in this process?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things right now is we have this opportunity online, right? We all have the ability to connect. But with that comes the ability to see all the other people doing what we do. And it freaks us out, right? We get scared because look at all the people that are already successful. How can I fit in? And so I would say, like, number one, you can't compare yourself to people who are not on the same path. Like, they may have started 10 years ago, 3 years ago. You just need to take the baby steps to get there. Like, little by little, the baby steps will add up. Just take action. Decide what makes you different. And it doesn't have to be all the things, right? People are drawn to, they're drawn to vulnerability, but we don't have to, that doesn't mean we have to like throw up our life over the internet, right?
Right.
We can pick and choose the parts of our story that we want to connect people with. And so decide in advance what those are, because that takes a lot of pressure off of you. When you go to say, what am I going to say online? If you've pre-decided in advance what are your brand story categories, then you always know what to say online. And the more you repeat yourself, the better it is. We don't have to reinvent the wheel for our business, because by repeating ourselves, we're drawing in the clients who like what we're saying and we want to say it over and over. So define those things so we always know what we're talking about online. And then learn to celebrate the small things, because like we both have said, it's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of mistakes. So move forward. Celebrate what you've done. And then, you know what, you might make a mistake and fall over and get back up again, and then celebrate it again, because you have to make these little steps and really enjoy the process in order to ever get to the big steps. Because if you don't enjoy the process, you know, you're going to have a lot of heartache along the way.
Yeah. You mentioned in there brand story categories. Did you define those already? Or can you explain a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, I think it's when we take the pillars of, so we think about our target audience, we think about our product, and we say, what does our audience need to hear in order to want my product, right? So let's say they, are disorganized and they feel like they'll never get organized, and you sell organization. They need to feel like it's possible. It's possible for you to get organized. It is possible to do it in 5 minutes a day. Maybe my client is busy. So who are they? What are their problems? And how do I need to make them feel? And what problems am I solving? And so it's partly that leads them directly to the product. But then because other people are selling the same product, potentially, other people are selling organization, what makes you different? So then you take the parts of yourself or your business. Do you like to shop at a certain place? Do you love a certain color? Do you drink a certain thing? Are you a give back business, right? So it's kind of the combination of solving our target audience's problems with bringing our own story in and then picking a heading for those. What are the 8 things or the 12 things I'm going to continuously bring up over and over and over that are drawing the right client in, making them feel the right way, and then also showing them how I'm solving their problem to connect the dots. And so when we define those brand story pillars, it takes a huge weight off of our business as far as always knowing what to talk about.
Okay. So let me just kind of work through what you said. You know, so you've got the people who are disorganized, and you're not just selling like get organized, but it's like get organized in 5 minutes a day. But then you're taking it the next step to say get organized in 5 minutes a day with stuff you can buy at the dollar store. Or is that, yeah. Is that, yes, properly understanding?
Okay. Why would you want to buy it from me? Why would you want to learn organization, for instance, from me versus somebody else? Or why would you want to learn, you know, healthy living from me versus somebody else? What's the connection we have? Okay. And then how am I solving your problem? And then fit those categories.
Okay. So then let me tweak what I just said. It can be more on the front end too, which would be the stay-at-home mom's guide to get organized in 5 minutes a day. So it goes both directions. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And there's no, you know, it's not like you have to fit those categories in each one thing. It's not like here, I have to have my audience's exact age. I have to have their, you know, there's different important, valuable points about our story that we want to tell and about our target audience. So it's not like I can give you an exact, okay, fill the kind of drink they like, fill the shop they like, you know.
Right.
But we just have to really get in touch with how they feel and then what they want to feel in the future when we help them. And then what do we want to talk about that is matters to us that we want to matter to our audience too.
Okay. I'm just kind of putting everything that you have said together and in which you bring everything about you into your business, right? It's your experience, it's your education, but it's your purpose. It's your, I mean, in some ways it feels like it's your faith. It feels like everything that you're doing all comes into what you're doing with your business. Was that an easy understanding for you to come to, or was that something that you kind of had to work through on your own?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yes, it's true. I think that when I decided to sort of redefine my business about 4 or 5 years ago, it became very clear to me that if I was going to spend hours and hours and hours working on something, that it had to make a bigger difference than just me having like a job. If it was going to take time away from my family and my kids, if it was going to be the fulfillment of my ideas that God planted in my heart, then 100% it needed to be bigger and include a lot more of me. As far as the second part of that question, it wasn't easy at all. I am not naturally a person who likes attention. I am introverted. I had to really work through a lot of fear in order to say, I want to put my face out into the world for people to see. I want to put my message out into the world. I'm also more of a peacemaker naturally, not like a divider. It's hard for me to just share like strong opinions that might divide people, which sometimes is a really good thing for a business to do, you know, right? Like if you want to separate yourself. And so, but the thing I just want people to understand is that your purpose has to be bigger than your fear. And I decided that in the end of my life and my legacy and before God, I wanted to say I took my gifts and talents and I took the wisdom that I had and the knowledge and the creativity, and I used it for a much greater purpose. And I didn't want to hold back just because I was afraid. And so I had to slowly cultivate this ability to bring a brand into the world and to make myself the face of the brand. But that's also why I tell people, you don't have to, you know, I don't share everything about my entire life. I share designated things about my life. You can build a business online and have a sense of like some security. It's not, you know, it doesn't have to be completely vulnerable in order to build a brand story that's really valuable and impactful.
Okay. And I want to just, this is my last question for you, because yeah, this has been phenomenal. I'm thinking about how you're sharing, you're putting yourself into the business. You're putting you in there. And now you bring all of you, you are selective about what you share, but how do you ensure that the business doesn't consume all of you? If that, because you know, in this world, business can take over your life. You know, an online business, and especially when for somebody working from home or wherever, it's really hard sometimes to draw that line. That okay, I'm on the clock now. I'm off the clock. How do you have any suggestions for how to make sure the business doesn't take over everything you do?
Yeah, that's a super good question, and really, I think that it's probably a big struggle for a lot of people. And it definitely was a struggle for me for a long time, especially when my kids were little and I had less time. And I felt like it was either the business or the kids and I couldn't possibly do it all. I would say that being able to really focus so that you can repeat yourself as much as possible helps. So take the time, come up with the brand story, come up with the marketing plan and sort of put it on repeat, put it on automate. Really try to figure out what kind of technology. I don't like technology. I'll just say, like, I'm not a natural techie person.
Okay.
But I was afraid of it. And I had to just go, okay, one step at a time. How do I automate my email system? How do I automate? And now I have a grasp on almost all of it. And I found it's really not nearly as scary or hard as I thought. But by automating things, you know, it took some time off my plate. And also just it's remembering that it's not a competition, remembering that social media is a tool, but it's not, it doesn't have to be an all-consuming tool. Really putting guidelines on our own personal use, I think, of social media especially is important to say that I'm going on it for business, I'm using it for this designated period of time, and that I'm off of it, because otherwise I could get sucked in for hours to enjoying all of the cool things or feeling comparison or whatever else.
Right.
And just also daily prioritizing what is the purpose of my life, you know, where am I bringing value to other areas of the world, to my family, to my kids, in my faith, how am I nurturing myself in other ways, and having a very specific morning routine that kind of helps me reset my mind so that I can go into everything, you know, with the right attitude and the right heart. And then try to, the hardest part, which maybe a lot of people relate to, is turning off at the end of the day. I mean, I really enjoy what I do, right? And so when I have to go pick up the kids or whatever the time is, you know, and I sometimes have to go back to work in the evening, but I try to make it after the kids are in bed. And then I look forward to that. I'm kind of a night owl in a way.
Sure.
So it's not easy to not let it consume you, but I think we have to make predetermined ideas to say, you know, which part of my life is this for and what's purposeful and what's not serving me well and what do I need to step away from in order to have a real life too.
It's awesome. It makes so much sense. And yet it, as you said, it's not as easy as you would like to be. Shani, you've been phenomenal. If people want to get a hold of you, if people want to find you on the web, find your website, social media, you mentioned your Instagram page where it's fun and people can hang out and enjoy. Where can they find you?
So everywhere, I am just at Feather Blue Studios with an S at the end. So Instagram is one of my favorite places to hang out. So at Feather Blue Studios. And then my website is www.featherbluestudios.com.
Oh, fantastic. You made it super easy. And I'll put links to all that down in the show notes. Wonderful. Listen, this has been wonderful. We are now at my favorite part of the show. You have established that you are indeed smart. I have learned from you. I think my audience has learned from you. But it's three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
You know, I'm probably not ready, but throw it at me anyways.
It's quite okay. what was the last thing that you read, either digitally or in print?
I'm always reading about 3 to 4 things at a time. So right now I'm reading a book called Begin Again. I'm like almost done with it. The concept is really about how we can begin again every minute or every day or every year. We make a mistake, we reset ourselves, we begin again, we have grace for it. It's just sort of rejuvenating and yeah, it's been good.
Very cool. I love it. How old were you when you had your first celebrity crush? And if I could ask who it was.
You know, I don't even know if I know his name, but there was a show that had I was probably like in junior high, like 7th or 8th grade. And there was this slightly sci-fi show about some people on a ocean thing. And there was a blonde kid. I don't know.
You know what?
I remember him. He was cute.
That is more than acceptable. That's fine. All right. And last question for you. And that is there a meal in your family that when whoever is cooking dinner, when the smell of this meal wafts through the house, everybody almost comes to the dinner table comes to the dinner table early?
Ooh, so I have a really great recipe for coconut chicken Thai soup. And I am a creative in all the things I do, including cooking. I have a hard time following recipes. So basically I find about 5 recipes online and I tweak them and make it my own. And then I just start making them from then on. So who knows where I started, but everybody loves it. Very good.
Wait, fantastic. You know what? I'm going to have to get the recipe from you, or you can tell me which 5 you, because
absolutely.
Here in Pittsburgh, it's getting cold and we've got a long winter. And listen, my daughter's favorite food is Thai. So yeah, to put everything together like that, I need the recipe. Hey, Shannon, you have been great. You've shared a lot of good information, and I hope that folks have enjoyed this as much as I have. I encourage you all to check out her website. You have something that you are offering for my listeners. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so on my website at featherbluestudios.com, I have a link called the little freebies tab, and I have a few different resources there people can grab for free. I have a collection of lifestyle stock photos that are great for social media, and I also have a few different guides, like 7 secrets to social media, maybe how to run a purpose-driven brand online. I can't remember exactly what's in there right now, but I call it my sort of vault for women to find some free resources on online businesses.
Cool. So featherbluestudios.com/freebies.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening today. I appreciate it. I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.